What's going on, family? Let's talk about something that's been buzzing in the tech world, AI safety and security. How do you feel about the rapid advancements in AI and the potential risk that it brings? Have you heard of the stories about AI being tricked? It's a real concern, but fear not, because there's a real solution, AI red teaming. You see, AI red teaming is all about stress testing. You see, AI models and deployments to prevent unauthorized access and data leaks. It's about ensuring that your AI can't be tricked into providing information beyond its intended use. And guess what? You don't have to do it alone. My friends over at HackerOne has a community of over 750 active hackers specializing in AI security testing. You see, in a recent engagement, just 18 hackers identified over 100 valid findings in just 2 weeks. That's the power of ethical hackers. Wow. So if you want to ensure the safety and security of your AI deployments, look no further. Head over to HackerOne.com and explore their AI red teaming services. With strategic flexibility, rapid deployment, and a hybrid talent strategy, HackerOne has everything you need to safeguard your AI. Don't let AI keep you up at night. Visit HackerOne.com today. And rest easy, knowing that your AI is in safe hands.
The Neatness Network is growing, you guys.
If you cannot articulate your vision as a man, where do you plan on taking the woman that you desire?
This is why Patrice Washington is joining the Neatness Network.
You present who you really are and not a version of yourself that you think will make this man choose you.
Now, before we hop into today's show, be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Now let's jump into the video.
I'm proud of you. I've known you for what now? How long I know you now? It's been a long time.
I think it feels longer than it actually has been.
It's been at least, what, 5 years?
Has it been 5 years?
Yeah, because I met you when,
It hasn't been. Because I met when did you move to Atlanta? Just moved back to Atlanta, and that was 2019. So it's been 4 years.
Four years. All right, so 4 years. I mean, and since then, I've just seen your whole life just change and switch. And you still smiling, like she is right now. You're still winning, even though you're going through a lot and you're pivoting a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? How, and I got to ask you this question, and we're going to get into some other stuff. There's a lot of ladies watching us right now, going through a lot. Let's just be real. You don't have this issue, but some of them got baby daddy issues. Some of them got career issues. Their bosses getting on their nerves. The business that they're wanting to build, they're having issues with it. Children may not be able to do the things that they want to do with their children. And some of them feel like giving up in certain areas. Some of them are not smiling the way you're smiling. How are you throughout this season? And this is why I brought you back so quick. Because I'm like, we got to talk about some other things, but I'm curious to start off today's show. How are you still smiling and still winning through a pivoting season of your life?
So I just want to be clear. Yeah. I have all those issues.
Absolutely.
Everything that you listed, you're like, you may not be going through. No, actually, I'm going through all of those issues.
For real?
Absolutely.
You didn't tell me about one of them, though. We'll talk about that offline.
But I am going through all of those issues, and I just still choose to believe that all things work together for my good.
Yeah.
I literally believe that.
Yeah.
So, you know, for years on my show, I would always say what I think Tony Robbins said, which is, nothing happens to us, it happens for us. And I just literally, I think it's a choice, right, to believe that, yes, I'm in this, but this is not a permanent situation. This is not a permanent place. This is temporary, and this is a season. And so I get to choose how I will navigate this season. Am I going to let it swallow me up?
Yeah.
Or am I going to see this as, like, just planting new seeds, learning new things, take the best that I can and keep it moving. I literally just have a keep it moving spirit. I have a so what, now what?
Ooh.
Mentality. That was from my first book 10, 11 years ago.
Yeah.
So what, now what? This is what it is. This is where you are. But what are you going to do?
That's good.
Lay down and die? You know, I have to tell you. So the last time that I was here, you know, I don't read comments too much. So I haven't been on YouTube reading comments or anything, but I have had a few people tag me in comments on Instagram.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
And one of the things that I found so interesting is men who would comment.
Watch out now.
And
I'm a man.
Yeah, and I'm not saying you, friend.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just saying there were some men who commented, oh, now that her looks have faded, she wants peace. Now that she's over 40 and washed up and like now
looks
that.
Looks are faded.
Yeah. It's there. It's out there. But Anthony, I don't know if you remember this about me or you knew this about me. I grew up feeling very ugly.
Yeah, you said that on the last show.
On one of the shows. Yeah. I don't know if it was the last one.
Or maybe in your show.
Oh, maybe on my show. Okay. But I grew up feeling, you know, very ugly, insecure about my looks, all the things. I started therapy at 22. I was 25 before I could look in the mirror without cringing. So more of my life I spent feeling undesirable than the 17 years that I've been doing this work. Mm. And I can tell you that even in the midst of being in a challenging season for me, it was so refreshing to read that comment and chuckle. I read the comments and I chuckled.
Why'd you chuckle? I'm curious.
Because I know who I am.
Yeah.
15 years ago, I'd have been under a blanket somewhere.
Because somebody called you ugly?
Because someone pulled out something that really was an insecurity of mine. But in the same way, a lot of the comments that I read, it just made it very clear to me that I said things that triggered what they truly believe about themselves. So that's why they're reacting the way that they do.
I think it just bothers me when I hear grown men, mm-hmm. bring down our sisters. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't see that comment.
There's like, so many. I
did not see, because you're over 40, mm-hmm. so automatically that makes you less desirable from mm-hmm. what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And then they're saying looks have faded. When I think...
And also obese.
Obese.
I think it's something about maybe my broad shoulders that give off. I also saw obese and I said,
listen,
oh, okay. And all I could do was chuckle.
Listen, Patrice is my sister for real, for real. You know what I'm saying? Not an inch of my body wants Patrice in a romantic way. But Patrice, you are beautiful. And I think 40 is the new 30s. You know what I'm saying? I think 40 shows wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I think... as our black sisters, just because I may not find you romantically appealing to me doesn't mm-hmm. mean you're not beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think grown men who come after our sisters, whether they're older sister, younger sisters, and you want to come out of your mouth and say something foolish like that, you need to shut the hell up. Because I think we should be uplifting our queens. We should be uplifting our sisters. And like I said, not everyone is going to be romantically appealing to me.
Right.
But she's still going to be beautiful. And I just think, man, grown people, man, we just got that bothers me.
I think the conversation, though, just triggered a lot in people. And I think it happened in men and women. And I understand it. I understand that when someone is so clear... And you may be dealing with some confusion around what you desire or what you think you can have. It is assaulting to you for someone to sit here with a straight face and say, I know that this is what I desire. It's the very people who will say or quote, write the vision and make it plain.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone writes the vision. And because they don't see themselves in that person's vision, they're now upset by the vision.
Ooh.
But if you have a vision and your vision doesn't include me or a woman like me, I'm not triggered by that. That does not bother me.
Yeah.
You are entitled to your preferences. You're entitled to your desires, your needs, your wants. And if they don't include me, that doesn't demonize you.
So recently I completed my full estate plan, and I'll be real with you, while it was an emotional journey, I can now sleep better knowing my family and loved ones will be taken care of. But did you know that according to a recent study, 60% of African American adults have life insurance, yet many of those policies may not provide enough coverage to fully protect families in the event of unexpected death. The gap in coverage is a significant concern for Black communities, as it can lead to financial hardship and jeopardize generational wealth building. And we definitely can't afford that within our particular community. Now, more than ever, it's crucial for African Americans to prioritize life insurance and estate planning. By doing so, you can ensure that your loved ones are well taken care of in the event of your passing, covering funeral and burial costs, paying off debts and mortgages, and providing income to help them build true and lasting wealth. So I am asking you, please do not leave your family's financial security to chance. I want you to get life insurance today with my friends over at Ethos by visiting anthonyoneal.com/life insurance for a free quote or by clicking the link in today's show notes. I want you to protect your family's future and give yourself a peace of mind knowing that you have life insurance today. Hey, let's get back to today's show. This is why, I'm going to say it now. This is why Patrice Washington is joining the Neatness Network, and this is why she's back on the show, because she's my sister. And how she breaks down things, I just want to be like, yo, I want to have you a part of this Neatness Network family, because I believe all people need your message.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? And the fact that she accepted, and she's like, yo, I'm ready to come. She's down with the family. And she's been running things, too. Like, she's already come in bossing, like, Michelle.
That is not true.
Like, all Black sisters come in here and just run things. You know what I'm saying? Day one, Michelle joins the team. Hey, you going to do this? You going to do that? You going to do this? Gonna be here. I'm like, okay, Michelle, do your job.
That is absolutely not
Patrice
true.
Patrice joins the network. So, hey, guys, this is what we're going to be doing. I was like, okay, it is true.
Was it?
When we had our team meeting, you weren't running things, Patrice?
Was
I? CJ.
You know what? Because you were still on a flight, and you joined the call late. Let's get everybody in here.
But my team was on a call.
And my team was, too.
And you just stepped right up, right?
I had to step up. I had to step up because you were not there to lead it.
But then when I got on the call, did you fall back?
I did. We let you speak, brother.
You did. I get it.
Yes, we did. Even when your little mic was going out.
Oh, now you're trying to play my mic.
No, I'm just saying. But can I just say, though, that is exactly what happens out here, like, period. You just illustrated something so powerful.
Okay.
When women step up and lead because they have to,
yeah,
then the men can turn around and say, oh, you were bossing that. No, I got on the call ready to sit.
You did.
And listen.
You did.
But the man who was supposed to lead the call wasn't there.
True.
So I did what I had to do.
But you also pointed out a real good example. When the man showed up, you did bow down. And so does Michelle. I mess with Michelle all the time. Like, she does her job very, very well. She takes it serious. And I think one thing I like about, I don't really like calling ladies bosses. Because I don't look at you as a boss. I don't look at Michelle's as a boss. I think of ladies who get the job done. And when the man shows up, you all know how to play your role and allow the man to play his role. And together we're strong.
But those have to be men that we can trust to lead.
Mm.
So not just any man could have got on the call. And because he was a man, I would have fell back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would fall back
because
trust you to lead. And I'm a part of your network.
I mean, it's our network, but you also see the fruit. And I think that's a problem with men.
Mm-hmm.
You see the fruit of what we've been able to do.
Yes.
Right? And so it's like, okay, you're not really falling back to the man. You're falling back to the fruit of the man.
And to the vision.
Yeah,
so can we go back to the clip that
what clip?
Took over my Instagram page? The clip that was about me saying that I feel like the next iteration of my vision and my purpose will be in partnership with someone.
Right.
So the comments related to that were, you know, especially around the vision piece, there were a lot of comments like, well, she wants a man that's making all this money. And I replied to a few people and none of them responded. I said, thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious who said anything about money.
You never said anything about money in that clip.
I never said anything about money. I said he will have a vision.
Yeah.
I didn't say he has to already make more money than me.
Right.
I didn't say he has to make as much money as me.
Right.
I didn't say a dollar amount. I said he will have a vision.
Mm.
If you cannot articulate your vision as a man, where do you plan on taking the woman that you desire?
Yeah.
She should be able Well, you should be able to articulate the vision and enroll her in it, and yep. she should willingly go along
right.
if she sees her how her purpose is also connected to your vision.
A lot, yeah.
That just is what it is. So when you don't have a vision, but want someone to follow you, well, bro, where are we going?
You know, maybe I need to do a show just for men. Because that clip is going viral. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Ladies are, taking an audio of that clip and just... Listen, I mean, I don't know what they're doing. The clip is just going viral.
Mm-hmm.
Brothers.
Yeah. Brothers. It's why is it insulting for a woman to know what your vision is or to ask you what your vision is? What exactly are we going to do?
But, you know, it's not just for that, though. I mean, I want to know what is, when I find my woman, I want to, what's your vision?
Yeah. Well, that was the other thing. People were like, well, she's waiting on a man. I just wish that we would stop taking these 10, 20-second clips. And, if you want to comment with such aggression, just take a step back and maybe click on the profile.
And,
Google. Take a moment and research. We are so quick to react to
right.
these very short clips.
Right.
You wasted all this energy
right.
fighting in the comments, and you should have paid attention to who you were even...
Or watch the whole video.
Or go watch the episode as it's designed.
Yeah.
It's designed for that.
Because you were speaking truth. I mean, at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? You were speaking truth, you know? And I believe that I just need to do a show on men, for men, on why do we feel the way that we feel? Why are we intimidated by successful ladies? Why do we get triggered when we hear ladies say, hey, listen, I mean, I'm going to submit to the vision and my man is going to be able to come in and help me win as well. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why we are intimidated by that. I really don't. Because even growing up, my biological mom she's the breadwinner. And she's always been the breadwinner, mm-hmm. you know. And my dad wasn't intimidated by that, you know. And I'm like, but why are we intimidated by a successful woman?
But I think that when you reduce provision down to financial resources, that's where everything falls apart. Because a man can provide for his family and for his woman beyond just finances.
Yeah.
There's a safety that should come with you. You know what I mean? Like, there's just a nurturing that still will come from men. There's protection. There's, like, all these other things that a man can bring and should bring outside of just financial resources.
Yeah.
And I think they're... A lot of men are getting frustrated because women, we are waking up and realizing that because you can pay the bills, that is not enough.
Ooh.
I need to feel safe with you.
Yeah.
I need to feel stable with you.
Yeah.
Like, I need to feel like, you know, just nurtured and taken care of by you spiritually, emotionally, mentally.
Yeah.
And for so long, because someone could do that financially, they felt like they could neglect every other part of who we are. So solely being people who only can look at things and intellectualize everything. So, well, he makes this paycheck and we live here and we have this car. We are full beings.
Mm-hmm.
We have a whole soul
and
spirit that needs to be nurtured. And if someone is not willing to also do the work to take care of that, I think the problem is more women are waking up to you have to do more than just being able to pay bills.
Yeah. And we do. And men, we have to learn that.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling myself, I used to think that. As long as I pay the bills and you ain't got to worry about nothing, I'm the man.
And we were indoctrinated with that.
Yeah.
As long as he pays the bills and he comes home, then I just got to deal with all the other things.
Yep.
And then we have these...
That's unhealthy.
...awakenings, and we are more aware of what it should actually be.
Yeah.
And we're just not... settling for that anymore.
That
is unsettling for men who are not willing to do the work.
Yeah. Let's go there. You said something, you said earlier about self-aware, but you say something oftentimes that when you say this, I'd be like, Patrice, you got to break that down because I don't know if I really agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you say we are taught to be self-aware and not soul-aware.
Mm-hmm.
And you say soul-aware is we need to be moving off of our feelings. So I'm not going to respond until I understand what you really mean by that. But break that down for us.
So first of all, that self-awareness, right? We were all taught, go to school, get a good education.
Okay.
You gather all the knowledge. So we have become information gatherers.
Okay.
So we sit and we listen to podcast after podcast. We consume the news. We read all the books. We go and get the certifications, the courses. And we feel, because we know now how to intellectualize our way into and out of anything, that is the work. Okay. The truth is, that's just the beginning. Self-awareness is amazing.
Okay.
But until you are soul aware, which means you literally have the ability to discern what part of the information you've taken in you can actually act on, you really don't have anything. Like, information without being able to implement it in alignment with what you're called to do means nothing, right? So we have a lot of very self-aware people who don't go do the things that they know God called them to do.
Now you're talking.
Right?
Okay.
So when you become more soul aware, you don't just intellectualize everything, right? I halfway want to say spiritualize, but I'm not even going to say that, though, Anthony, because I've realized in our society, I feel like intellectualizing things and then spiritualizing things are what actually keep people stuck.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say that, but...
But now you got to.
Well, I don't want to say the spiritualized piece because a lot of us spiritualize the scenarios that we're in and justify staying in toxic situations or staying in places because we spiritualize it. We're
No, listen. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I think that's toxic spiritual, right?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, I get it. There are some believers who believe that, hey, once you say, I do, if he is emotionally abusing you and it's not physical abuse,
you stay.
Mm-hmm. False. I have no problem saying that. As an ordained man of God, got my license from AMB Zion 4 years just to get my minister license. I know the word of God. That's false.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I believe, this is what I want to say. Soul and spiritualized, but healthy.
But healthy.
Spiritualizing.
Yeah.
Yes.
But healthy. So.
Ooh, that's good though. Now I like you. Rewind.
Now you like me again?
I agree with everything you say now. Because I thought you were just going off, we got to move how we feel. And I think some people move off of their feelings, not off of gathering the correct information and making sure that that information aligns with the spirit man as far as in... their assignment, their purpose, their calling.
Mm-hmm.
But some people will skip over all that. Well, I like him. He looks real good. Or like this. And it's off of their feeling. And you talk about this on your Redefining podcast, like with your six pillars. And I'm like, this is why I got to go check out a show.
But let me tell you. So this is why you have to spend time in the faith pillar, though.
That's good.
Because you can trust your feelings. I believe you can trust your feelings more when you understand what's like fueling your feelings.
Yeah.
Like when you are like sitting with God, when you're taking the time to actually study your word, when you're meditating, when you're praying, when you're journaling, when you're really getting to know yourself, you can trust your feelings. Many of us don't trust our feelings because we were taught to dismiss our feelings in favor of someone else's teachings.
Mm.
So then we go intellectualize, well, Pastor so-and-so said this, or my mama said that, and we don't really have a frame of reference for how that connects with us.
Yeah.
So this is why I've always said, you should reject any advice that does not align with what you've been assigned to do. Mm. It can be great advice.
Yeah.
Right? Up here.
Right.
So
right.
You're aware.
Right.
This sounds great.
Self-aware. Okay.
But your soul is like, this ain't for us.
Facts.
So because a coach, we're both coaches, so because a coach lays out 10 steps, I still have to filter through and see out of these steps, which are the ones that are really aligned with me and then make them my own, right?
Yeah.
In order to truly have success.
Yeah.
What most of us try to do is run with other people's thoughts, words, ideas, concepts, and then force ourselves into that box. And when we don't get the same success that they have, we're frustrated. Well, you didn't filter that through your soul. You took some self-awareness, like you took like, oh, okay, I think I need that. And then you just grab what they had and then you ran with it. And then you wonder why it doesn't pan out.
Facts.
There's no filter. But I always say, many of us say we're believers or this or that, especially in your community.
Yeah.
Do you make time to actually practice what you say you believe?
Come on.
Because if you make time to practice it, you can trust your feelings because you also understand that what's guiding you is really the Holy Spirit. You understand that it's the God within. I don't see God as some like outside force over there, big man in the side. I feel like God is in me.
Absolutely. But he is in you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He dwells in us. And I would say, Now, this is just the spiritual side of me, the student side of me. Mm-hmm. I think we trust our spirit. We got to question our feelings sometimes. Because feelings, you know what I'm saying? Spirit comes from God. Mm-hmm. So we know, right? Like, okay, that's God. Hey, no. Some people don't know what spirit, what's feelings. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like feelings may be if you say something and hurt my feelings, that's not soul. That's not spirit.
No.
That's feelings. Mm-hmm. So we'll respond off of feelings. My spirit says, she didn't mean nothing by that. Mm-hmm. My feeling says, I'm pissed. She offended me. Mm-hmm. So it's like, for me, I would be like, okay, Patrice, you good. This is good. It's good, Patrice. It's like, when we can align our self-aware with the spirit, man, we make better decisions. But I think sometimes people get confused with the unhealthy feelings and are like, yo, that I'm going to respond off of that. Mm-hmm. And I've been there before. I've responded off of unhealthy feelings, confusing it to be spirit-led. And that wasn't the case. Mm. It wasn't the case at all.
I'm sure we all have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure, like, we all have.
I think for me, which is why I'm so happy with you joining the network, because you teach how to really gather the healthy feelings, the healthy soul aware, because people need that. And that's something that I go with my, I walk through that with my emotional coach. Like, mm-hmm. hey, how do I know what's healthy feelings and what's not healthy feelings? Because, you know, especially being a business owner, single, I got a staff that depends on me. I get a lot of feelings. And I am learning to be like, okay, wait, is that healthy or is that not healthy? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I'll respond back, even like yesterday, right before we were shooting the show, in my head, I was sitting there tripping on my producer. I'm like, why does this fool have me scooting all the way over when the camera's right there? And I'm like, well, just do it. And I was in my head, I'm like, bruh, I've always sat there. Mm-hmm. And then you sit down, I see,
and
I got two cameras behind me. What's the first thing I did? Mm-hmm. That's why I was quiet and didn't respond, because I knew that was unhealthy. And then out loud, I had to apologize to him. Like, yo, bro, I am so sorry. Mm-hmm. Because inside my head, I was like, what the heck? Bro, I always sit here. Then when I saw that, I'm like, bro, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That's spirit-led. Mm-hmm. And it's correcting the unhealthy feelings. And I think sometimes people, we have a problem with checking those feelings up front.
Well, we don't ask ourselves any questions either.
That's good.
So I
do you ask yourself questions sometimes?
All the time.
Like, when you say you ask yourself, like, give me an example of one question you ask yourself before you respond out of your feelings.
Before I respond out of my feelings? Mm-hmm. I mean, a simple question is, who was the person? Mm-hmm. Like, and what was the actual intention?
Mm-hmm. 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 Okay. All right. Cool. Then do you answer that by yourself?
Sometimes.
That's good. You know one thing I do like about you? You'll send me a text message. You was going through something with someone else. Mm-hmm. I was like, bro, is this right? I was like, yo, Patrice, I think you should not say nothing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good. How often do you do that with your friends and with your family? Like, do you text someone else often sometimes?
Yeah, it just depends on what the scenario is. But after, I ask myself.
So you first.
Me first.
Then if you don't get it clear, then you get other people's thoughts and opinion. Who you trust.
Yeah.
Are you at the season of to where sometimes you can check yourself without including someone else?
Yes.
That's so good.
For sure.
How long did it take you to get there?
I feel like I've been here for a few years for sure.
Okay.
But this also, again, it comes from the time and the pillars.
That's so good.
I really believe that. I believe that really being intentional about living by the pillars has allowed my process to process life to become a bit easier. Not easy, but I know that I can do it with much more grace and ease and peace than what I've done in previous seasons and also what I see people do.
Love it.
So people just are very reactive and they just be, you know, machine gunning people with their feelings and emotions because they haven't really taken time to cultivate. You thinking about yourself while you make that face?
Yeah.
It's just really taking time to cultivate, though. Like, is this me? Is this my spirit? Like, is this my ego?
Ooh, it's
Am I
ego
reacting from ego?
It's the ego for me. I'll be real with you. Mm-hmm. I have probably lost out on friends because of my ego. I have probably lost out on business deals because of my ego. I just, and that is something that I think men, we struggle with, our ego and our pride.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, and I have no problem admitting that. That's why I'm in therapy. That's why I have an emotional coach. Mm-hmm. Because I think men who sit here and act like they do not need help with our egos and with our pride, you're lying. You're a weak man.
Well, you know, that was one of the comments also from the clip. I saw several comments that related to a man doesn't need a woman to complete his vision. And I felt like that was very sad.
Say that one more time.
I saw comments that said, what is she talking about? A man doesn't need a woman to complete or fulfill his vision.
That's a lie.
And I thought that was so sad.
That doesn't even biblically align. God put Adam to sleep. Adam didn't ask to go to sleep. Adam didn't say, God, I want to go to sleep. God, in the middle, Adam, go to sleep. Boom, he went to sleep. Went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because God said it's not good for man to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
God gave Adam a task, a vision, and he realized Adam, it's not good for him to do it by himself. He needs help. So let me create help to complete his task. And let me pull from him a woo man. Dope. So good. Then she comes. He wakes up to his help. So
he wakes up to his help.
That's it. He wakes up to his help.
He had to be awakened.
Exactly.
Well, this is why there are a lot of men who...
they still sleep.
You're just still asleep.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Everything that's inside of Patrice, and I know Patrice, you ain't gonna like this. So keep leaving on me because her face gonna roll her eyes, CJ. I hear you saying you don't know if you want to get back into marriage, but I think you're too good of a woman and you was made with a purpose and assignment to where what's on the inside of you is for another man.
It I is believe for that. I don't debate that, friend.
Okay,
you can put the camera on me, CJ.
Okay,
we good.
Sure, you know. I know, you know what I'm saying? I know you're going through your transition season. I know you're probably saying, oh, I'm done with
no,
that.
No. I'm not. I told you before, I desire partnership.
Okay,
like,
cool.
I desire...
I just want to make sure you know.
All of that. I'm a wife.
Yeah.
I know that I'm
as long
a
as
wife.
You know that.
I'm not a wife in this season. And in this season... I'm going to enjoy
yeah, I'm with you.
Not being a wife.
Okay, cool. I'm with you. But just as long as you know that you're too good to not be a wife for the rest of your life.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt it.
Because I think that, go back to what you're saying in a comment, which is so disappointing. Everything that's on the inside of you is designed to help another man's vision with your vision.
Yeah, compliment. We can compliment one another.
All day.
And it doesn't take away. That doesn't mean that now I don't have a vision.
No.
You know, but that's how some people see it. Like, no. Oh, she waiting until... No.
Why? Because it's like, wait. Because you help somebody else out with their vision, if it's complementing your vision is helping your vision is helping their vision, we're working together.
But who's to say those two visions couldn't come together to be something
it
epic?
It becomes one if you're married.
Let me say this, too.
Jesus.
So a lot of what I heard as well was about, successful men don't want women like that because they're just not agreeable.
Successful men don't want successful women?
Because they're not agreeable. Men in your comments.
Seriously?
Yeah. Men in your comments. They do.
These are not my brothers. I don't know.
They
found they don't listen to me.
Their way to your comments. But it makes me think of Barack and Michelle Obama.
Right.
Do you remember there was a period where she was more loved than he was?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Michelle Obama
mm-hmm.
was a bad sister before Barack Obama even came into her life.
Respectfully saying that. She's still a bad sister to me.
But right. But she was an attorney and he came in as an intern.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So it wasn't because he had money.
Right.
at all.
Right.
But for whatever reason, she saw something in him. And I choose to believe that he likely articulated, maybe not I'm going to be the president of the United States,
mm-hmm.
but articulated some vision that she said, you know what? Because who left the law firm? She did.
Mm.
in order to continue on with him. And look at what they've become. Mm. She's a force on her own.
Yes.
He's a force on his own. But what they are able to do together, how she was able to bring initiatives to his platform that meant something to her.
Yeah.
Those were not things that she just cooked up the day before they announced it. These were things that she had already been passionate about.
Yeah.
She was already into health and wellness and fitness.
Yeah.
She came to the inauguration with them guns.
What?
Right? Like, this was who she already was, and she was able to take everything that God had already put in her, everything that her parents had instilled in her,
mm-hmm.
all of the experience that she had, and elevate that man's vision. Would he still have been the Barack Obama that we know and love? Possibly, but was he really that because of the wife he had? Mm. Absolutely.
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 I mean, he found his helpmate. She helped him become the man who he is today. Period.
Period.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I can't wait to have mine.
But why do we applaud them and then try to tear down, you know, everyday people or business owners or women out here because they are clear on what they desire, the audacity?
Listen, I don't care. I don't care. Those ain't my brothers. I'm going to tell y'all that right now. Y'all ain't mine. They ain't with my crew.
It's okay, because I think it's important that more of us have these conversations.
Right.
And I'm okay. See, I've done enough healing work. I've done enough therapy, and I'm always in it. You know, I'm always in the work.
Right.
But I feel so good about being able to chuckle at these comments because it shows me how much I've grown.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I think is, I hope he wakes up one day. I hope that they wake up before their time here is up.
That's the end of the show. Man, y'all need to wake up. I think not, y'all. We need to wake up. We need to wake up. Adam woke up, found his helpmate. And I think the reason why some of us are missing out on the opportunities, on growing our wealth, getting out of debt, building the businesses, and really awakening the success that's on the inside of us is because we're still spiritually asleep. Mm-hmm. And we're intimidated by a successful woman because there's still something inside of us that's not healed.
Mm-hmm.
There's still something inside of us that is asleep. And we need to, one, get help, two, awaken it. And I think we can't awaken it until we honestly get help, until we get therapy, until we can get around other men who are healthy. And that's one thing that has helped me out, right? And I'm just going to be honest. I didn't really awaken until I got around other men who had some strong wives.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there watching them like, yo, wait, I like how they're maneuvering. I like how, like, one of my brothers, he don't make a decision, a move without talking to his wife. And if his wife says no, he don't do it. He does not do it. And that's not just a black thing, it's a white thing. I remember when I was interviewing with Dave Ramsey and I sat down. And he literally said, hey, if my wife doesn't feel comfortable with you joining our team, I don't care how many interviews we just did, you're not joining the team if my wife says no. And I was nervous meeting her the first time because she was so poised and just so quiet and silent and beautiful. Love you, Miss Sharon. And and of course, she said, he's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like the fact to see a successful multi-millionaire say, if my wife says, I don't know, hey, son, the answer is no. And I think, why? Because he understands the anointing, the spirit. He understands this is a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And what she sees is for me, and what I see is for her, and we're doing this thing together. But that's why the Bible says we come together as one. And I'm going to get off of that because I'm a relationship expert. I'm still single, never been married like Patrice. So I can't. I hate acting like that on my show. But I just can't wait to become one and really submit to the gifts, to the talent, to the spirit of my helpmate.
In the meantime, I feel like what I am being called to do is lead and guide more women into being prepared for when they find the man that awakens. Because you really do need to clear the clutter and the pillars, as I talk about them, on redefining wealth and increase that self-love and awareness for yourself so that you present who you really are and not a version of yourself that you think will make this man choose you.
Yeah.
I really want us to remember that we also have a say in who we come into partnership with. And the more clear that we are, whether you write a list or a dissertation, that's your business. Mm. It is about you really knowing who you are, what you love, what you desire, what you want, so that you can be equally yoked. Mm. Because two people say they go to the same church, that don't mean that you're a fit for one another.
Woo.
And we need to do our own work and be able to own it when people are trying to throw out statistics. Right?
Mm.
When people are trying to tell you what they believe you should do and the norms. Many of us have an idea of what we want and desire. We don't have the guts to say it. And we don't have the conviction to stand on it 10 toes down. And my job is to help more of us get the conviction, because we're very clear about who we are. Because the right person, and you know this, so for those of y'all who are like, that's why she's single, Anthony already knows, but I stay dating, baby. And dating is collecting data.
Yeah, yeah. Talk.
And they all what, Anthony? Oh, How tall? How tall are they?
I already told you.
6'3", 6'4", 6'6". After they sat up and sent me the statistics in my DMs that you are alienating, da, 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 and I want to. I'm not here for everybody. I'm not afraid to alienate.
I think you just try. You should go out on one date with 5'5".
Reagan's height? My daughter's height?
Why are you comparing your daughter to a man?
Because when I hold my daughter and we walk and I'm going like this, that's essentially what I would be doing.
I think you need some healing.
You think I need some healing?
I'm just messing. Listen,
I have a right to my preferences.
You stuck with what you wanted and you got it. Well, I didn't say you got it. I mean, but you have some good high caliber men who are interested in pursuing you. So, hey, you know, I mean, I ain't mad at you. I ain't mad at you at all.
Ladies,
I still
clear.
Think you can find a good man at 5'8", at least.
No, they're definitely out there.
Good.
Well, not for me.
No. I still think
there's
you.
Amazing men out there.
We're going to end the show. Yo, listen, we're going to end the show right there. Because I still think she can do it. But that's not what this show was about. This show is about, yo, man, I mean, really connecting your soul. And what's the other one?
Self.
And I love that. That was just gold. And so, hey, Patrice is on the Neatness Network now. You got.
Woo! Can I clap?
Yeah, you can.
I'm excited. Oh,
she is family. This is my sister. And nothing's changing for her. Nothing's changing for us. It's just that we're all working together to help people have a neat life, because we can't be perfect, but our life shouldn't be messy either. And so redefining wealth is coming to help us just really become neater. And I'm really excited about that partnership coming on. And you're going to be seeing a lot of stuff from all of us together, just coming together and just helping people and doing some things. So you'll see her on the show here more often. But we're going to drop all of her information in today's show notes. Go subscribe to her channel. Go subscribe to her YouTube channel. Y'all going to be seeing some things on there looking a little bit different as well. And I'm just really excited to have my sister on the show. So
I'm excited too.
Until the next time, hopefully the next time she would have tried at least a 5'8 guy. We can see. If not, maybe she just married this 6'2 guy. I don't know. But until then, we're going to redefine wealth together here at the Neatness Network. Love y'all. Peace out. See you in the next show.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.